time to call the meeting to order. It's 10 o'clock. This is the meeting of the Arkansas Independent Citizens Commission. I call the meeting to order. Lacking a gavel, I use my knuckles. I want to, as we start, just point out that this meeting was called due to the fact that the legislature was in session and the Legislative Bureau was busy and could not give us information about other states' constitutional officers and legislators at the time of comparison. So we postponed that consideration on salaries of legislators and constitutional officers until today, May 12th. I'd like to call the roll, and if you're present, please say present, and if not, obviously you are absent. I'd like to also note that representatives of the Auditor's Office and the Attorney General's Office are present, and I'll have them identify themselves. Okay, starting off, Vice Chair Tommy May.
Present.
Philip Fletcher. Frank Gwynn.
Present.
Jonathan Rogers.
Present.
Jan Zimmerman.
Present.
Clark Smith.
Present.
Okay, and on behalf of the Auditor's Office.
T.J. Power, present.
On behalf of the Attorney General's Office.
Leah Malthus.
And also Donna Kirk, on behalf of the Auditor's Office as well. Our first order of business is approving the minutes of the February 17, 2023 meeting. I'd like, if it's fairly succinct, I'd like a motion to approve.
Motion.
Jonathan Rogers moves. A second.
Second.
Yeah. And is there any discussion? If not, I will ask for a vote. Please say yay if you approve the minutes.
Yay.
Yes.
Yes, yay.
Okay. That is unanimous. Now, we are going to look at some information that was gathered by T.J. Fowler on salaries of not necessarily adjoining states, but other states on legislative salaries, governor's salaries, etc., executive constitutional officer salaries. Now, I want to share, and some of you were on the commission at the time, that back in November of 2021, we had a meeting after the salary resolution was issued on October 1 for constitutional officers and members of the General Assembly. And this meeting was on November the 17th, 2021. And it was at the request of Chairman Banks, who wanted more detailed information of comparing legislative and salaries, as well as judicial salaries, by the way. This was covering the waterfront. So we were able at that time to get descriptions from of jobs and duties for senators as well as House members, and we also got some comparisons. And obviously in Arkansas, we gained a copy which let us see how many times the legislature has met each year since 1969, actually, and how many special sessions, etc. So you could get a feel for actually how much there had been an increase in the number of sessions. Although some years there were several legislative sessions back in the 80s. But in the case of the last decade, there were, obviously during COVID, we didn't have a lot of sessions. And in 2019, before that, in 2013, 14, 15, and 16, and 17 and 18, we had quite a few. So I think the idea was to give us an idea of how much time the legislature was actually spending in session. We were also given stats on which were dated 2021. This was obviously in November, but we were given descriptions of legislative compensation for Arkansas, Iowa, Louisiana, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, in those particular ones. And what was obvious was that sometimes we were comparing apples to oranges, because travel reimbursement is different. Some of these states actually give an office expense to each. For example, in Iowa, they get $300 a month for district, for postage, etc. I mean, it's just automatic. And then in Louisiana, they get $2,000 a month for vouchered office expenses, and then a certain staff allowance. We don't have any staff allowance for our legislators, as far as I know. And senators receive, this is very interesting, in Missouri, $94,000 per year for staff salaries. So you've got a whole slew of different types of systems. And they're all part-time, by the way. They're all legislatures that are part-time, but they all differ in many respects. So when I was looking at what the information we bring today, I will admit to you that because Florida and Georgia are not contiguous, I thought they were, and I must say Texas is its own world, and I'm not critical of that, I'm just saying it's a huge state, and I'm not sure this legislative salary of $7,200, I'm not sure what else they get other than that. They're, you know, it's a little afield for most salaries. So what I was looking at, and I want you all to throw your input into this, I was looking at Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisiana, and Tennessee. And because that's what we were looking at a year and a half ago. What I noticed in just looking at comparisons is Arkansas and Oklahoma seem to be pretty well in tandem, other than the lieutenant governor salary, which we know is kind of an unusual situation. So Oklahoma, since our evaluation in November of 2000, which was really 2020 figures, if the truth be known, they've raised their salaries considerably. They've raised legislative salaries $12,000. They've raised governor's salary $9,000, lieutenant governor $16,000, AG $41,000, Secretary of State, $11,000. Treasurer got a huge chunk, $38,000. And the auditor, $10,000. So there, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon in Oklahoma. Now, Missouri's raises have been in the $3,000 to $4,000 range. They have not been that high. Our raises that were given in October, on October 1, were basically, I can't remember exactly what the percentage was, but it's nothing like Oklahoma did. Anyway, Louisiana has given a raise to the Secretary of State and the AG, no, not the AG, has not given, Secretary of State got $9,000 and the Treasurer got $13,000, but other than that, they stayed pretty the same. So, you know, I'm not sure how you all want to look at these statistics, understanding that sometimes it's apples and oranges, and we don't know about. We know, based upon some of the information from November 2021, that there was some information given to us about the per diem rate for legislators. They used the GSA guidelines. And so at that time, back in November, it was $155 per day for outside the 50 mile radius of the Capitol, and $59 per day for inside the mile radius. The mileage at that time was 56, and so we had some information on special sessions and how much was paid out to each legislator. And we know they come for meetings throughout the year, which has increased. Meetings are all year long. So that's my commentary just on information. And what I'd like to do is open the floor for discussion. As you know, we did give raises to the judiciary, and it was a sequential raise, 2%, and then I can't remember, 5% or something like that. And, you know, we know, well, first of all, according to the FNA, we know that constitutional officers, what they are paid is in a separate fund, and it's not taking away from social service programs or other things. It's just set aside. But if it's not used, then, as I understand, it goes back into general revenue, and then they do another at the next session in the stabilization process. They set aside another chunk of money. So this is important, in my view, to understand that we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I'm going to open the floor.
Madam Chair,
yes.
As you mentioned in your opening remarks, there are other compensation other than the salaries, and those are important to figure into these. In fact, you know, the last time we had those discussions, again, those are fairly significant amounts. And so as we think in terms of the salary, I think it needs to be all encompassing. Number one. Number two is I do agree with you that it's important to look at contiguous states, thinking in terms of we have we we have more information again on those states. We understand them. We're probably more alike each other in several different ways.
Population especially.
Yeah, exactly right. I do think we have to take into consideration whether we like it or not. I think we have to, you know, last time we talked about surplus. Mm-hmm. And but the fact is that we, from our standpoint of our economy, you know, we truly are facing some uphill challenges. And we don't know exactly where that's going to, you know, to take us. Again, I think that has to be taken into consideration if we're going to do something more than just what I would consider a normal adjustment. My thinking would be a 3% increase along the lines of what I think I commented on before. And at the same time, I think between now and the next year that this is great, and I just simply like to add to this those supplemental payments next year when we consider that. That would be my comments. And I'm not making a motion yet.
No, I got you. You're just commenting. Well, I do want to say that when things were looked at in special sessions on the Senate side, we didn't get the figures from the House side at that time. Only the Senate, I believe, sent us how much they were, you know, spending. It was, each session was about $19,000 or $20,000 of total, everything. You know, but I don't know what the House spent. I don't have that information in this packet. So I'm, yeah, you're right. That needs to be considered. Jonathan, any comments you want to make?
Sure. You know, as we kind of look through here, I kind of, you know, just kind of ranked this with the 10 that we have here. You know, we're in the top three, I guess, with legislative salaries. We're number three. Alabama and Oklahoma would be the only two above us. Governor salaries, similar, number three. Lieutenant governor is number 10, but we even talked about last year kind of different duties done in different states with that position. So that was an apple and oranges, as you already mentioned. Attorney general, we're fifth, middle of the pack. Secretary of State, fifth, middle of the pack. The treasurer and the auditor, the treasurer's fifth, and then auditor's third. You know, it's kind of about, as I look through all this, my immediate reaction is I'm kind of proud of where we are as a state, truthfully. I think we've done good over the last several years of keeping in line with other states.
Yeah.
We definitely don't want to fall behind. But at the same time, my personal opinion is I would be fine foregoing anything this year and kind of seeing what happens in the upcoming year and addressing it as we address raises next year with all this information. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be opposed to Mr. Tommy's idea either. But just as I look through here, you know, where we're at, you know, being ahead of so many other states, I like what I see as we look through here currently. You know, legislative, that was kind of the number one thing we talked about, right? And all those people have other income, so this isn't, as you've already mentioned, and most of those people, if not all of them, do have other careers too. So my personal opinion is I'm fine where we are for now, and I think you have to review it every year to ensure that we don't fall behind, and if you have to make a bigger adjustment in the future, you can. But I think we've addressed, as we've addressed the judicial pay, I kind of like where we're at today. That's my personal opinion. But I'm not opposed to Mr. Tommy's idea.
Madam Chair, if I may,
yes.
Just a point of clarification. There is a typographical error for the Arkansas Secretary of State's salary.
Okay.
It says 131,322. It should be 101,322. Apologize for that mistake.
We're not fifth anymore.
No, we're not fifth anymore. And then another point of clarification, and I think everyone understands this, but I just want to make it clear. Y'all were talking about other sources of pay. that's purely legislative. I don't believe any of the executive officers have any other sorts of pay. This is their sole.
Full-time job.
Exactly.
Would you repeat what you just said on Secretary of State?
Yes, sir. Secretary of State for Arkansas, on your packet says 131,322. That should read 101,322. 101.
It was just a three inserted. I'd like to hear from everybody that's online, on the phone. I'll start with Ms. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Well, in listening to the discussion, I seem to be aligned with Vice Chairman May on his thoughts, simply because all the feedback that I had received via mail indicated that at this point, most of the legislators that I heard from were not in agreement with taking a raise at this time. So to Jonathan's point, I think that we might behoove just waiting a little bit and then reevaluating at another point.
So are you just talking about legislators or constitutional officers?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Just legislators.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Graham.
May I ask, did anyone receive a letter thanking us for the attempted raise that we gave? The correspondence that I received was 100% opposed to taking any kind of raise due to the fact of other hardworking Arkansans that evidently we had not.
No, I don't think we've received any other correspondence since the last meeting.
I received a couple of letters signed by many legislators stating that they were not in agreement with having a raise at this time. Well, am I the only one that got that?
Well, we all got letters, but was this back when we, in February, that you received these?
Yes.
Okay, they're part of the record. They're part of the record.
Okay.
They were made a part of the record. I think we all, or in some way, received that, and they were put online on the website.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gwynn.
Madam Chairman, I agree with the Vice Chair May. I also agree with Jonathan Rogers. I don't think you could explain it any better. Neither one of them did. So that's my thoughts right there. They both made very good points. So I'm thinking about it at this time. Thank you.
So, Mr. Grant, just to be clear, are you saying wait on the legislators but give a raise to the constitutional officers?
You know, I personally could go with either one of the with Tommy or Jonathan.
Okay.
I think whatever we do, we need to either put it off for a couple months or I don't know. I like each point each one made. They make good points.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair. Once I reviewed the data, it told a pretty good story. That Arkansas ranks among the upper median of the schedule. So I was pleased to see that we're competitive in comparison to the states around us. Based on that information in the spreadsheet and the letters that we were received from the legislatures, I would say that my position would be to keep salaries where they are right now.
For constitutional officers and legislators?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm gonna withhold my, as chair, normally chairs don't get into the fray. I just want to make one statement that has to do with the reason the Salary Commission was created. From my understanding of the reasons it was created back, what, 2014, in that neighborhood? Yeah. Was because, obviously, it's very difficult politically to vote for yourself a raise. And, you know, it feels a little bit like a conflict of interest, if you want to know the truth of the matter. And also, what had happened was, over the years, and we all know this, our governor, what, was paid $32,000 a year or something. And so, you were asking people who wanted to be public servants and serve the public to really impoverish their families. Now, some people have, obviously, assets and other things, investments, where they could do that. But that would mean that those who don't are kept out of the political process because they can't afford it, they need to send their kids to college, whatever. You know, and Arkansas is not known for its high salaries. It used to be called the Land of Opportunity, if you remember, long years ago. Well, the Land of Opportunity, many of us had to leave the state to make a living because we couldn't make a decent salary here. Now, that's changing. That's changing. It's been changing for about 20 years now. We have some of the top three, top four corporations in the nation and also in the world. So that's changing. But the point is that I understand the reason why the legislators are making this. I am not being critical of that. I understand that it's really hard when you see your constituents suffering, whether it's from inflation, the COVID pandemic, whatever is going on, that's creating economic stress. And so they really are concerned about their constituents. But I also think it's important to weigh in the balance, and once again, this is a weighing thing, it's not an either or. Weigh in the balance the fact that you want to be sure, even though this is labeled a part-time legislature, we are all aware that the committee meetings go on throughout the year, which means you're not taking care of your own business at home, whether you're in the real estate business, whether you're a lawyer, I don't care what you are, whether you're a car salesman, then you have to come here and take care of Arkansas business. And so I would hate for us to, because of the politics of the appearance, I would hate for us not to do our job, which we were assigned, because we are not in the political fray. We are not elected. We are serving gratis here. We made that decision. And so that we could take it out of that political arena and make sure our constitutional officers and our legislators are paid appropriately for the work they're doing. Now, as you've mentioned, our legislature gets paid other for their per diem and their transportation expenses by the mile. And so there is more money that they're getting than shows up in this chart. Those are expenses, though. Those are not freebies. their expenses, their, you know, wear and tear on car driving here. If you're in one corner of the state, that's 3 hours. And I don't know how much the internet meetings, I'm not sure how that's all playing out here, because that would affect expenses too, meaning you don't have to drive here for a meeting, but I'm not sure that can be done now. We make a big point of being available for the public to come to meetings, and so I don't really think that is having an impact in reducing expenses. So I just put those thoughts out to put it in the context of why the Independent Citizen Commission was created, so that legislators and constitutional officers would not, so to speak, take a political hit for getting a raise. Whether it, you know, like for example, if you're a legislator and you voted for a raise so you could get a raise, and then your opponent comes along and runs against you and says, oh, by the way, so-and-so voted to get himself a raise. Well, you're never going to get a raise that way. And so that's what happened here. We had this whole slew of salaries that were unbalanced. Well, we fixed that. The Citizens Commission, Independent Commission, has fixed that. And I think, as you pointed out, done a pretty darn good job of it. So I'm in a place where I'm not really in favor of what we call a fixing adjustment, meaning we're in a good place. We don't need fixing adjustment. I just wonder about the reasoning behind not giving a 3% at this point. That's all I'm asking. What is the reasoning when we're really just doing something that is a kind of a cost of living? That's my 5 cents worth. Go ahead.
Thanks, Madam Chairman. I think you articulated that very well, and personally I think the commission is extremely important for all the reasons that you just said. That, you know, we, a group of individuals, you know, approving their own races, there's nothing good about that. I think that we work hard to do it the right way. We're not always right, but we work hard to do it the right way, and we do have different opinions on that. I think what Jonathan said is so accurate, right on target based on where it is. However, I would not to compromise. I'm not looking for a compromise, Jonathan, but I think that when you look, earlier you talked about these numbers, and when you look at the legislative salaries, they're right, really the highest of all of ours. We're somewhere around third in the group there, and as our chairman has already mentioned, there are other payments that go with that. My guess is that would stay at 3 or go to 2. So we know that the constitutional officers are full-time. We know that they have the same challenges that we do relative to inflation and all those things. And I personally would be willing to recommend a 3% increase for the constitutional officers and hold steady on the legislative salaries based on what Jonathan has articulated, which I think is very accurate, and Madam Chairman, on what you said relative to the purpose of the commission. So I would, that would be my comment. before making a motion.
So to clarify, you think with the legislative salaries where they are, you would leave those like they are for all the reasons we've already discussed?
Right.
But everybody from there over, the governor, lieutenant governor, AG, you would do a 3% cost of living adjustment, basically.
Basically, right.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Point of clarification, if I may, Madam Chair. I actually have the live Excel spreadsheet for me, so if y'all want to know the actual rankings, I can do that quickly if y'all want to ask. Just FYI.
Okay. Now, I am, you know, when we're looking at these rankings, to be honest with you, we know Arkansas, they get per diem, and we know that. I don't know what these other states get, other than that I know they get some office expense flat amounts, some of them. So, you know, saying we're ranked in a certain place, I'm just not sure what that means, because I have no idea what other sources of income. I'm not talking about private sources, I'm talking about for this job as a legislator, whether it comes with, whether there are other, like for example, of course, I just don't throw Texas into this at all.
Sure.
And here we have Florida and Georgia that are huge states with big populations, and I don't know that they don't get other benefits and income. So I'm just sharing with you that I'm not saying I'm opposed to what is being discussed. I'm just saying I don't know. The legislative salary side of this is so apples and oranges, and I don't know how to compare states, if you want to know the truth of the matter.
If I may, I'm sorry to keep interjecting, but since I was the one that was tasked with doing this research,
correct,
I can tell you that in doing the legislative salary research, every state has its own set of different per diem rules. Some of them pay different each legislative session day. It's all over the map. So while you can rank the actual salaries here, and it appears that Arkansas is at the top, I can't say that that's an accurate reflection of total compensation. Now, I can, for the executives, I think they should be treated differently because you can make those comparisons.
Yeah, I think to me, when I look at legislators, it's like, is that a fair, do we feel like that's a fair wage comparable to other states for what we ask them to do?
Right.
And then from that column over,
It
is, you know, that's a totally different subject to
me.
The rank, yeah, those rankings of those constitutional officers to these mayor states, I would appreciate that.
Yes, sir. So what I can do is, since I have this live Excel, I can simply sort them by value. So the governor's salary, if I sort that, Arkansas ranks 4th overall in the governor's salary in the states listed. Lieutenant governor, I don't think is a very helpful ranking simply because of our part time. On the AG salary, we rank 6th out of the 11 listed. For the secretary of state, we rank 9th out of the 11 listed. Treasurer and auditor start to become a bit more problematic because not every state has them. They do for duty, so I'll just do the treasurer. Out of the states that actually have them, and there were only 8, we rank 6th. So, and this is just my off-the-cuff observation, it seems like as you get further down the line, we get a little bit further down the list.
So the adjustment that we're talking about on the constitutional officers, it's important that we don't lose ground. Madam Chairman, I know you mentioned that. That's very important to us.
Any comments by our commissioners who are on the phone?
Here, Chairman Chuck, this is Clark Smith. I appreciate you laying out the framework for the purpose of the of a commission. I mean, I understood that loud and clear. And you know, based on your comments, I will be more aligned with Mr. May's comments. Is, you know, freeze or not doing anything on the legislative right now, but the others, I would not be opposed to.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, concerns? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Madam Chairman, I would move that based on the discussion that we've had here and based on the analytics that you were able to obtain for us, that on the legislative salaries, we hold those fixed until our next review. And then on the other salaries, constitutional officers, that we would do a 3% increase based on, again, the analytics of those states we have compared ourselves to.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Jonathan Rogers seconds. Any further discussion? If not, I'll call a vote on the motion. And what I'd like to do is call your name and have you vote so that it's clear. Vice Chair Tommy May.
Aye.
Frank Gwynn.
Aye.
Jonathan Rogers.
Aye.
Jan Zimmerman.
Aye.
Clark Smith.
Aye.
And I vote to approve as well. So that will be the decision of the commission. Now, I'd like to ask the auditor's attorney, Mr. Fowler, to please lay out our process for implementing that.
The constitutional amendment requires that this go out for a public comment period of no longer than 45 days. At which point we can reconvene, pass a resolution. That resolution will go into effect 10 days after filing with the Auditor State's Office, and we can file it on the same day that y'all reconvene. I think historically we've looked at about 30 days as a reasonable public comment period, as being shorter than 45, but adequate time for people to respond. So if y'all want to schedule another meeting around that time.
Right. What would that be? That would be mid-June, right? Say June the 16th, a Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
June the 16th is a Friday, and that is roughly.
How does that look for the other members of the commission?
Madam Chairman, that works for me.
16th.
Jan Zimmerman.
June 16th. Now, you'll be preparing a writing. Does it need to be signed by the commissioners or for notice purposes?
I believe historically it has been signed by all commissioners. I don't think there's any requirement that that occurs. I think it can be signed only by the chair and the vice chair.
We'll make that happen so that it's done. We need to have it.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Historically, we always have had all the commissioners sign the resolution.
You're right.
Assuming it's approved.
Yeah. Okay. But what I was asking about is the drafting of the resolution the notice? Is that what the notice is?
No. The notice would presumably be published on the website, and that would be the notice too. The public of the proposed salary adjustment, which is the motion that was approved today.
Right.
And so at the next meeting, after the public comment period, there would be a prepared resolution for the commission's approval.
So our minutes would be the notice?
publication of the minutes and publication on the commission's website, which I believe is done by the auditor staff, is the notice to the public.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure, you know, sometimes there's two documents, sometimes there's one document. I never know which is which. So, we won't have to sign anything for the notice part. Okay. So, we will set the meeting for 10 o'clock on June the 16th, which is a Friday.
I will be out of state, but I will.
You can call in. Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll be out of state on that date as well, but I can call in also.
Great, great. Thank you so much. And then I will rely on the auditor's office, Donna and Mr. Fowler, to put the notice on the website. Okay, thank you. Is there anything further other than we've set any new business, old business? If not, I will use my knuckles and adjourn the meeting. Adjourn at 10:46.